إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, it is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of us have started this blessed month of Ramadan. We cannot underestimate or undermine this blessing about which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to make dua 2 months before the month came. He used to teach the Sahaba a dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. O Allah, give us barakah in Rajab and Sha'ban and make us reach Ramadan. So the reaching of Ramadan is a huge blessing, something that we should appreciate. How do we benefit from this month? And what is the main purpose of this month? What is the main focus of the month? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has explained to us in the Quran. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O people of Iman, the fasting has been prescribed upon you. It has been written for you. It has been made obligatory upon you. And it was made obligatory upon the people before you also. And the whole purpose of the fasting is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can achieve taqwa, so that you can gain taqwa. What is taqwa? You can define taqwa in many ways. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awareness of Allah, leading one's life in a way which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned that a sahabi, he described what taqwa is. He said that if you are walking along a thorny path, there are thorns and bushes and everything, and you're wearing expensive clothes, how are you going to prevent your clothes from touching those thorns and damaging your clothes? You're going to tread very, very carefully to make sure that your clothes are not stuck in those thorns and thereby damaged. This is what taqwa is. This is how we need to lead our lives. Now, part of taqwa also is the controlling of one's nafs. And this is actually the main theme of the khutbah today. What is the nafs and how do we control it? What is the outcome of controlling the nafs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He declares in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Indeed, the person who purified the nafs, he has become successful. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The person who did not, he has become unsuccessful. So, we need to understand what the nafs is and how we need to control it. And this has been mentioned, the nafs has been mentioned in 3 places in the Quran. The 3 categories of nafs have been mentioned. And I will mention those. The nafs has been basically categorized as either being nafs ammara bisu. Ammara bisu means that nafs that always pushes a person towards evil and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happens, the nafs is like that when a person is not controlling himself. He's not making any effort towards rectifying his character. He is not working towards becoming a better person. Then his nafs will tell him, his desire will tell him, his self will tell him to do something, eat something, and the person will eat. His nafs will tell him, drink something, and his nafs will drink that thing. His nafs will tell him to disobey Allah, and the person will disobey Allah without any questions asked. And that happens when a person is not controlling his nafs. He's not controlling his desires. He's not making an effort upon himself. He will do anything and everything to please himself. He will not think of the outcome, the consequences, whether he's hurting anybody, whether he's disobeying Allah, whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with him. He will not think along those lines at all. What he will be thinking about is how I can please myself, how I can fulfill my desire, how I can quench my thirst of getting everything and anything that I want. This is a person who has become subdued by his nafs, and that category of nafs is known as ammara bisu. That nafs that is always ordering a person to do bad. So this is the bottom level, the lowest level and the worst level that a person is at. So if a person is at that level, then he really needs to question himself. He needs to question his faith. He needs to question his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second level is known as nafsul lawwama. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swears in the Quran. He takes an oath. He says, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. I swear by the يوم القيامة. I swear by the Day of Judgment. And I swear by that nafs which is لوامة. First of all, should not become confused by this word لا. لا أقسم. This لا here is a special لا. It is specifically put at the beginning of قسم to stress upon the oath itself. So it's not a la nafiyah, it is not a negative la. It is either la za'idah or la which is used to stress upon the oath itself. So in fact, it makes the oath very, very strong. I swear by the Day of Judgment, and I swear by that nafs which is lawwama. So the general understanding of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath is that when an oath is taken, that oath indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds that thing very, very significant. He regards that thing that he is taking an oath of as being an important thing, and he wants us to pay attention towards it. So what is this nafsul lawwama? And nafsul lawwama, the soul, the self that maligns a person. It scolds a person. And that will be the regular person, regular Muslim who has any level of Iman. He is at this level. He should be at this level. That when he commits a sin, when he disobeys Allah, when he follows his desires, and in the following of his desires, he is disobeying Allah, his nafs will scold him. His conscience inside will tell him that what you've done is wrong. You should not have done what you've done. And he will continue to feel an inner sense of guilt and discomfort until he makes tawbah for the sin that he committed. So this category is known as nafsul lawwama. The word lawwama is from the word malama. Lama yalumu malamatan. So the person is scolded by his own self. The person, he scolds himself. An inner conscience will tell him that what you've done is wrong. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he defined what a sin is. He defined what a sin is. He said, Al-ithmu ma haka fi sadrik wa karihta an yattali alayhi nas. The sin is that thing that feels uncomfortable in your heart and you're afraid that people are going to find out about it. So this is the thing that is happening to a person when he is disobeying Allah, and he is at that level of Iman which gives him a nafsul lawwama. When a person continues to work upon himself, he continues to work upon his inner self, then finally he will reach a state which is known as an-nafsul mutma'inna. An-nafsul mutma'inna. And that stage is that stage of itmi'nan, that stage of peace, that stage of belief in oneself that I cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. I cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot commit a sin anymore. That is known as the stage of mutma'inna. That a person, he feels so, his iman, his faith becomes so strong and his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so strong that he cannot even conceive, he cannot even imagine that he would disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not even one iota. And that stage is the stage that we all strive for and the stage that we all aim for. Without that, we cannot hope sincerely for Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'innah, on the day of judgment, he will declare to that nafs which is mutma'innah, that nafs which was comfortable, that nafs which believed that he cannot commit a sin anymore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will declare to it, Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah, return back to your Lord in the state that you are happy and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي, enter into my slaves, enter into the group of my slaves and enter into my paradise. So this is the stage of nafs that we are supposed to be striving for. So how does that relate to our fasting? This nafs and the controlling of our nafs, how does that relate to our fasting? And how, while controlling our nafs, and how, while we are fasting, we can build our nafs and build our character, build our inner character and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see on a day-to-day basis that we have actually become slave to our desires. Our desires tell us that we want to eat something, we crave something, we will do our best to go get that thing. We'll go to the nearest, outlet, the nearest shop, the nearest fast food place, and we will get what we want because we crave that thing. Many of us are addicted to coffee, and when they do not get their coffee in the morning or in the afternoon, they try their utmost to find the nearest coffee shop because they crave it and they want it. These are all indications that we've become slave to our desires. We've become slave to our nafs. And then there are other people who are addicted to other things, be it drugs or other wrong activities. Some people are addicted to them. So those addictions are basically an indication that we've become slave to those addictions, slaves to those cravings. When we are in the month of Ramadan, what does it do? It helps us to control those cravings. Yes, I want something to eat, but I cannot because I will be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want a cup of coffee because I'm getting a headache and caffeine withdrawal symptoms, but I cannot because it will be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this practice over a period of 30 days, it enables a person to take hold of his desires, to make those desires submit to him rather than he submit himself to those desires. Controlling the desires, controlling the cravings, controlling oneself. And that is actually what Islam is all about. When a person has controlled his desires, when a person has controlled himself, then he is a good Muslim. Then he is not going to disobey Allah. However much you know, desire there is towards committing a certain sin, he will not do it because he has an awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we look at the Quran, we look at where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a good human being, and we'll see that the description basically fits a person who is controlling his desires. I'm going to quickly go through certain verses that are actually mentioned in Fajr this morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Rush towards that Jannah. Rush towards Maghfirah from your Lord. And that Jannah, whose width is the heavens and the earth, and it has been prepared for the people of Taqwa. Who are those people of Taqwa? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those people that spend while in the state of happiness, in the state of ease, and the state of adversity. They spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in both situations. The nafs of a person tells us, the desire says, that no, hold on to your wealth. Don't spend your money. You need to have savings. So a person goes against his nafs and he spends for the sake of Allah, making an investment in the hereafter. So you see, the first thing, he's going against his nafs. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Those people, they swallow their anger. When there is an opportunity, a point where he is made upset by his wife, a woman is made upset by her husband, co-workers, friends, brothers, sisters, whoever it is, makes a person upset. But a person, he swallows his anger. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. The nafs says, no, take revenge. That person, he made me angry, and I need to do something to basically just take my revenge at this point. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have to be kathimin al-ghayr. You have to swallow that anger. You have to control your anger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيْسَ شَدِيدُ بِسُرْعَ إِنَّمَا شَدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. The strong person is not the one who can wrestle another person to the ground. The strong person, the strong character, is the person who controls himself while he is angry. So again, he's going against his nafs, and through going against the nafs, he is earning paradise. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. He is forgiving towards people. He is forgiving towards people. People make a mistake against him, do something for him. His nafs tells him, no, I will never forgive that person for the rest of my life. And he is justified in saying that, because the person did him wrong. But instead of holding a grudge against the person, he says, no, I will forgive the person for the sake of Allah. His nafs tells him otherwise, but he goes against his nafs and he says that, no, I will forgive the person. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعْلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Those people that when they commit any fahisha, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they seek forgiveness for their sins. The nafs says, no, I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying this indulgence in sin and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should I stop? But he goes against his nafs, stops the enjoyment of committing the sin, and he starts obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks forgiveness from Allah. Again, going against the nafs. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they never make israr upon the ma'asi. Whenever they commit a sin, immediately they turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for his forgiveness. Israr upon a ma'asi, even though the sin may be minor, that can become major. To be stubborn upon sins, to commit sins, and to be adamant upon committing sins, this is something that is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, those people that go against their nafs, أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَجَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. For such people, their jaza, their reward is First of all, they will be forgiven from their Lord, and they will be given gardens of paradise. Underneath, there will be rivers flowing. Such gardens that we cannot imagine. No eye has seen them, no ear has heard about them, and no mind can even imagine what they will be like. Such gardens and such bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved for such people that control their nafs, that control their desires. وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. And how beautiful is the reward of those people that do good. So, my dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, this is basically the purpose of Ramadan. That we control our desires, that we become better people by becoming people that are aware of where their nafs is going. Once they commit a sin, they feel discomfort inside until they make tawbah and repent from that sin. This is what a person is who controls his nafs. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from amongst those people.